We are now in chapter 8, my friends, of Romans, which is life in the kingdom as freedom from the power of death. Let's take a look at this because it means an enormous amount for the 1,000 deaths we go through every day. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens. Thank you for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the gospel, the good news about our Heavenly Father's plan and action in Jesus Christ, His Son, the good news about His Son, Jesus, who has brought redemption and salvation to the world. We have escape from this planet, escape from death, through the power of Jesus. And my friend, what we look at as well is how our faith is trained in this good news. That's why this program is called How It Happens. Not here to inspire you, though I hope you're inspired, but to train you also as I seek to train myself in the good news. All right, now Paul is in chapter 8, or we are in chapter 8, I should say, and you remember that I said that verse 1 is really a conclusion of chapter 7. When Paul says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus," he's concluding chapter 7. Why is there no condemnation? Because we were delivered from the law and we are dead to the law through the body of Christ, dead to its condemnation, to its judgment, to its demands. But now, if chapter 8 verse 1 is a conclusion of chapter 7 on the law, what is chapter 8 verse 2 and onwards all about then? Well, that is where freedom from death comes in. Remember, Paul is talking about life in the kingdom of grace. It is freedom from the power of wrath, chapter 5. Freedom from the power of sin, the power of sin in the sense of sin's condemnation, sin's judgment, in chapter 6. Freedom from the power of the law, so that we are counted as righteous in Christ, chapter 7. And now freedom from the power of death. Now, of course, you know that ultimately, or rather the literal meaning of this is that Jesus Christ broke the power of death at the end of his life and the beginning of his resurrection. Because Jesus could not be held by death, because Satan could not hold him, because he was a sinless man, God raised him up by the power of his Spirit. And Jesus Christ launched into the new humanity that will be ours at the coming of Jesus, when this body shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption. We, my friend, are looking to an eternity that is beyond comprehension. Jesus, whoever believes in me shall, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever believes in me shall never die, shall never see death. What does he mean? He's meaning that as we die, the next moment we are in the kingdom of heaven. You remember the man at the cross, on the cross, the thief on the cross. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "I say to you, this day you shall be with me in paradise." Incredible. You know, the older we get, the more we recognize the importance of this. But my friend, if you're a young person, recognize the importance of it now. Because, you see, you may think, well, death's not going to affect me and for years yet. But the truth is, my friend, that we are always escaping from death. Every round of life, every busyness, every running away from pain, every attempt to not think about the future, all of that is an escape, or an escape from the fear of death. We as Christians have a blessed hope. Remember that. I think it's Titus 2, isn't it? Verse 10. The blessed hope. What does that mean? The happy hope. We have a happy hope about the second coming of Jesus Christ, when this corruptible will put on incorruption. Jesus Christ will descend from the heavens with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. He will descend in all of his glory, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of angels will be with him, and the earth will begin to break up. Those who have rejected him will call upon the rocks to fall upon them, and those who have received him and accepted him will say, "Lo, this is our God, and we have waited for him, and he will save us." And they shall rise up, they shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and they shall rise up to meet the Lord in the air. I'm telling you, my friend, get out of your head that this is a fairy tale. This is the climax of history. This is the final denouement of God's glory, the revelation of God's glory to the world. This is the final moment in which the great controversy will be settled between Christ and Satan. He will be revealed as the Messiah of the world. We, by faith in him every day, are already ready, for he counts us as righteous in his righteousness. You can rejoice in the second coming of Christ because you are counted in his righteousness. If you weren't, you'd just be looking forward to it as an event of dread. Now, I mention this and I say this, my friend, because it's a major part of the gospel. The gospel is one that God took our sins upon himself upon the cross and took the judgment for us in Christ. Two, that he rose to give us eternal life so that we live in the resurrection of Christ now. And three, that eternal life will embrace the whole world and the whole kingdom of God and the whole of our humanity when Christ comes again and we shall live forever. You see, the second coming of Christ is really the completion of the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. When God sent Abraham to Canaan and said, "In your seed shall all families of the earth be blessed," Paul saw that through the Holy Spirit as God's promise to Abraham that he would inherit the world, not simply the land of Canaan. We are inheritors of the world. Now, you see, this is, you say, "Well, Colin, it's far away. It doesn't seem real to me. It isn't current yet. We don't know when it's going to be. It could be 1,000 years ahead," you might say. My dear friend, keep the second coming of Jesus, the climax of history, the restoration of the earth, the new Jerusalem, the new world, the new earth, in the forefront of your mind as often as you can, because it will cause you to reevaluate everything that goes on here. You know, we all go through a lot of suffering, and some loved ones of mine and some that I have adopted as mine are going through enormous pain, enormous sorrow and grief and loss. And I have to say, my heart sometimes nearly is overwhelmed by it. I have to pull back and say, I've got to remember, this is not my pain, it's theirs. I mean, that may sound a little callous, but no, it isn't. It's just so that I might survive myself. But what gives me courage and gives me heart to believe in them, in their future, and to go on, is the knowledge that this redemption that is to come will restore all that was lost. When Joel in 2 verse 25 says, "I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten," he's not only talking to Israel about the promise of new crops after they had been just stripped bare by the locusts. These are types of the end of the world, these prophecies. They are types of the end of the world. You and I have lost everything. Adam was meant to pass on to us all the inheritance of the world and the universe. He robbed us of it. He robbed us of it. He's forgiven, I believe. We'll meet Adam again. But we have been robbed. And it is incumbent upon us, essential for our emotional, spiritual health, to believe that the second coming of Jesus Christ is the restoration of all that the locust has eaten. Have you lost a loved one? Have you lost something precious to your own life? Have you lost your chances for marriage or children? Have you lost so many happy years because of woundedness and because of abuse as a child? My friend, I tell you, God will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. And remember what I'm talking about. This is freedom from death. For God is going to restore all things. He is determined to it. He has sworn by his own name, and he will do it. And really, that is the background for Paul saying, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." Yes, there's much more to this now. We'll talk about it in future programs. But remember this. The law of sin and death is not only being freed from condemnation and judgment now, but freed from the death that is to come, because it is just, as Jesus would now put it, as Jesus put it, asleep. We may now say that. We may say that death is asleep, because what happens when you go to sleep? You wake up from sleep. And we will wake up from sleep and see our Heavenly Father and see Jesus. So, we do not let the final curtain that closes upon our earthly life determine our productivity in this present moment. We don't say, well, I'm going to die anyway, so what does it matter? We do things, we work towards things, because we know that though we die, yet shall we live again, and we shall experience the fruitage of our life forever. It won't be long before Thanksgiving, my friend, and this is kind of a time to think of thanks to God and thanks for all that you've received. And I wonder if you'd consider your thankfulness in getting in touch with this radio broadcast. Perhaps it was a providential moment that you turned on this radio years ago or weeks ago or days ago or tonight, and you heard something that you haven't heard for a long time or have never heard, and it has given you hope and peace. And it has trained your faith. If you are thankful for all that, I wonder if you would consider becoming a partner of this radio broadcast. A partner is someone who supports the program on a monthly basis. You might want to consider supporting the program at $20 a month or $10 a month, or maybe some of you can manage 50 or 100. Some people manage 200, as a matter of fact. So if you would like to support the broadcast and become a partner, all you do is send your first check to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. That's Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. And I'll send you my Cook's Monthly Message as a thank you. The Cook's Monthly Message is on some theme of Scripture that will train your faith, inspire you, and lift you up as you go through the month. You can also take care of your donation by PayPal, if you like, by going to our website, faithquestradio.com, and click on the donation button there, and you'll see the icon PayPal, faithquestradio.com. These donations are tax-deductible, my friend, and I thank you very much for your support. And so, I'll see you next time. Thanks and cheerio and God bless.